Welcome to the Bill and Rookie Podcast for January 19th, 2021. I'm back after a day off yesterday for the MLK holiday. And everybody's talking about the Packers in Tampa Bay and how the NFC Championship game is going to go. You know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers and his MVP year, rookie all. We've talked about it all year. He certainly didn't play like the MVP down in Tampa, but he has in every other game. But I think one thing you have to look at is not just the quarterback or Devontae Adams or the running game or anything, but I think Matt LaFleur and his staff, offensive staff in particular, deserves a lot of credit for what they've been able to do this year on offense. I'm looking at the numbers, and this team is so much more balanced than teams have been in the past. When you talk about run versus pass, now obviously they passed the ball a lot more than they ran it, but it seems to me closer than it's been in recent years. So they attempted 526 pass plays. They ran the ball 443 times. So there's less than 100 difference there. And if you look at just what their opponents did against them, opponents threw the ball against them 536 times, or 10 more times than they threw it, but they ran the ball 397 times, which is, you know, 50 or so less than they did. So other teams threw it more against the Packers. The Packers had more balance, and I think that's part of the reason the passing game was as effective as it was. They averaged 8.2 yards per pass play versus 7.1 that they gave up. Running game success leads to better success in the passing game, right? The play action is way more effective when you can run it, then throw it off the play action. And what was the number that we saw over the weekend? Rodgers had something like 24 touchdowns on play action this year, some ridiculous number. So I think more credit is deserving for Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett, too.
Well, not just for being more balanced, but being more creative, quite honestly. I mean, you see, look, we've talked about just the play that they used against the Rams with putting Devontae Adams in motion up and then coming motion back the other way and then being the target and catching the first touchdown pass against the Rams. It's just the creativity in general from this offensive-minded coaching staff, and we're really seeing it blossom here in the second year under his guidance. Now, the reason why the opponents have thrown it much more than they've run it against the Packers, because for as proficient as the Packers' offense has been, being the top-scoring offense in the league this year, most teams were playing catch-up. And when you're playing from behind, you got to typically throw the ball more. That's the one exception to the rule, I guess, this year with Tampa Bay that obviously beat the Packers 38-10. That's the only drubbing that the Packers took this year.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's kind of why those numbers are there. But the whole staff gets an A-plus just in creativity.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like the vision come to life. As last year, it was still the vision. And you saw part of it, but you didn't see it all because it hadn't materialized yet. Now it is materializing. And I'm just looking at last year's numbers versus this year. I told you they had 8.1 yards per pass this year. Last year, it was only 7 yards. And they ran the ball fewer times with a lower average per yard carry last year. In fact, last year they allowed more yards per carry than they had. It's not that way this year. So a couple of reasons why the Packers' offense has been so proficient. But when you look at the one game that they weren't, it was against Tampa. So, I mean, did that even worry you going into this game that Tampa shut them down the way they did in the first meeting? Did that have any bearing on what might happen on Sunday?
I think none, just from the standpoint that most teams at one time or another in the season have a dog. You just don't show up for whatever reason it may be. And I think that was the one game. Now, I know historically the Packers have had issues in Tampa as an organization. I don't know if you can factor anything into that. You hope not if the Packers make it to the Super Bowl. Otherwise, it doesn't bode well for them. But I think every team has a dog game during the course of a 16-game schedule. I think that was theirs. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to throw two more interceptions, pick sixes, anything like that. At least I wouldn't think. And the big thing is that Packer defense is probably different from when they played in Week 6, although you can't sit there and go 38 points were dropped on the Packers defense, because that's just not the case. We talked about the Aaron Rodgers interceptions as well.
Yeah, true. They didn't give up all those points. Right. What's interesting when you talk about how the Packers have played in Tampa, when Tampa comes to Green Bay, they don't do well. Since 1980, Tampa has played at Lambeau Field 16 times. They've lost 15 of those games.
Wow.
Packers are 15-1 at home against Tampa since then. That's crazy.
It is a crazy statistic, but naming the quarterbacks in those starts, do any of them have a pedigree even half as good as Tom Brady? So Tom Brady is going to come in here. I mean, this is his 14th conference championship game. You know, almost a full season played of conference championship games. You know, he won't come in rattled. He played in the cold in New England. So talk to me about the pedigree of the quarterbacks in those other games that came to Lambeau Field. I mean, it's a great statistic, and I hope it holds true on Sunday, but it's Tom Brady coming to town.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. But here's another nugget for you. The home team usually wins a conference championship weekend. New England and the Rams each won at the end of the 2018 season, but in the five other seasons before and after that, the home team won every time in championship weekend. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about a Kansas City, Green Bay potential Super Bowl.
You know, that kind of goes back, too, to the fact that it's such a huge home field advantage and you have 80,000 screaming fans really behind you, and that's not going to happen at Lambeau Field. That won't happen in Kansas City either. You know, Kansas City is going to have a few more fans. I think they've been averaging like 17, 18,000 a game all season long. You know, the Packers are going to be about half that size, even though they made a lot of noise. It helps. It provides some juice. I'm sure it was a welcome sight by the Packers, but still not like having 80,000 fanatics screaming at the top of their lungs. So there will be a home field advantage. It just won't be as great as it could be in a normal year.
There's going to be a few more fans this year, too, or this week, too, as you probably mentioned, the additional 500 season ticket holders. I think, what would they got announced, like 8,300 or something for the last game?
There's something along those lines.
A really cool picture today on Twitter of kind of like an overhead of Lambeau Field and how they separated the fans in the pods and how effective that was. It was really, they did a great job. So
They did do a great job. And we saw those aerial shots on TV as well during the game, and it looked good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing that 8,000, 9,000 fans, and you can look at it and go, man, that was really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to 80,000, considering where we've been.
I hear you. That was striking when I was there, too, to see that. I'm like, man, it looks like, I don't know how many people are here, but it sure looks like a lot more than 6,000. That's great.
Right. Right.
So they did a great job in that way. So hopefully they can do that again this week and it'll all be good. Well, we've got plenty more to talk about as the week goes on, but I just wanted to add some additional thoughts as we get closer to game time via the podcast here today. So I think that's all we got for today. We'll get more after tomorrow morning on the Villain Rookie Experience.